Today, Shir Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues to discuss situations where somebody did damage, caused harm. Will he be held responsible or not? Vama Rabba, Zorak Tirim Baroi Shagag. If somebody threw a child off the roof, and the child, under normal circumstances, cannot survive such a situation. And somebody caught that child with a sword and obviously killed that child. The question is, what will be the halacha here? Says the Gemara, Plukta, it really suggests the Gemara, is the basis of, is based on a machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah Rabbanan. The Tanya, the pasuk says, the Brisa says, he calls Sarabnei Adam, if 10 people hit a person by Saramaklis with 10 different sticks, Bein Basachas, whether if they all did it at the exact same time, Bein Bezachas, one did it after the other, the Loch is Kulam Paturim. Because the Pasuk says, Vish Kiyaka Kol Adam, Kol Nefesh Adam Moist Yumas, and the Torah says, from here, Chazal teaches Kol Nefesh Adam, the person that killed the person all by himself, that's the person who's held responsible. Here, where it took a number of people to unfortunately kill this person, since it was a number of people that were involved in killing the person, that's why there is no murderer that will be Chayiv Misa. Yehuda ben Maaseiah Omer, Yehuda ben Maaseiah says, if they each one of them stabbed him or hit him one after the other, the halacha will be achron chayiv, that the last one on the who gave him the final blow will be held responsible. Neshikirves misosai, he is the one that caused the actual final death. So, as the machlokes is, if they all contributed, what will be the halacha? Here too, when one person threw his child off the roof, and the other one actually was the one that stabbed him, neither of them did the entire act of murder. And according to the Rabbanon, if neither of them did the whole act of murder, neither will be chayiv. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the person who actually killed him will be held responsible, and that's the person who actually stabbed him. However, points out Tosfos, if the situation were that this person who got hit by 10 people, the original hitting could not actually have caused them to die, then even the Rabbanan will agree that the last one is chayiv. It says Tosfos also that this situation of somebody throwing a child overboard and somebody else stabbing him is not the same that the Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin, and other places speak about harig as a treifa, that if a person has some sort of a defect that he cannot survive, if somebody murders such an individual, he's not held responsible. Why is it different? We would seem to believe that if you threw somebody off the roof, so that person should be no worse than a treifa. So Taisha says there's a fundamental difference. A treifa is an individual who inherently cannot survive. Since this individual inherently cannot survive, the halacha looks at him as a dead person. And since the halacha looks at him as a dead person, that's why the halacha says you won't be held responsible. But a person, a child, Rahman Tzlan, the case of Al Gemara, who was thrown off the roof, the child is a healthy child. The only issue is that the child was thrown overboard. That is not the same as a treifa. Continues the Gemara. Basha v'kibloi, b'kronav. Again, the child was thrown off the roof. An animal came and hit that child, b'kronav, with its horn. Now the question here will be, as we know, that if somebody who kills somebody, if somebody's animal kills somebody, will they be chayiv kaifer or not? And the question here is, will the owner of this animal be chayiv kaifer? Suggests the Gemara that this is a plukta to Rishma b'nai Shab Yechim Abraik of Rabbanan. The Tanya, the pasuk says regarding kaifer, im kaifer yushas olav, v'nasam pidyon nafshoi k'cholash yusav olav, and there's a machlokes, very fundamental machlokes, Reb Yishmol and Reb Kiva, how we do the evaluation. The Chacham's opinion is, we look at the Mei HaNizik. We look at the value to make the determination how much Kaifer is owned. We make the determination what is the value of the person that has to pay Kaifer has to pay. We look at the value of the owner of the purse of the animal. So now, if we're looking at the value of the victim, the Mehan Nizik, so at the time that this victim was falling off the roof, he actually had no value. So then there would be no kaifer. If, however, we look at the value of the mazik obviously had value, and there would be a chiyuv kaifer. The Mefarshim, in discussing the Gemara, the Paradis Yosef, asks, he says that our Gemara could be understood. We know that when Paroi wanted to kill all the Jewish boys in Mitzrayim, he called them Yaldos Havrios. He called the Jewish midwives. So the question is, two questions. Why did he call the Jewish midwives is one issue to understand. And the other issue to understand is, if he called the Jewish midwives, why did he have to call two of them? Why couldn't he just called one of them? So the Sefer Paradis Yosef says that it's based on our Gemara. The Gemara says that according to Chachamim, which is the way we paskin, if two people were involved in killing someone, the Gemara we learned of 10 people hitting someone with a Sarah Makhlis, Chum say none of them get killed. So that halacha is only a halacha by Jews, not by Akum. So that's why Pari very deliberately called two Jewish midwives. By calling two Jewish midwives, what he was doing was, he was saying, you're not doing it by yourself, because we have two. So it's like 10 people who hit somebody with a makel. So not only are you not doing it by, so you're not doing it by yourself, and you're Jewish. So that's why he called two Jewish midwives instead of asking non-Jews who presumably would have been much more prepared to follow Paro's directives. But says the pasuk, "V'tirenu hamiyaldos asalakim." Yes, b'dei adam. Yes, Bezdin will not give a punishment to somebody, Asar b'nei Adam, 10 people that killed the person with Asar Maklis. But even though b'nei Adam, Bezdin will not give a person a punishment under these circumstances, but b'nei Adam, very similar to a concept that we often discuss in our shiurim, Grama ben Nizakin. The halacha is that by Grama ben Nizakin, you're pata b'nei Adam, v'chai b'dein Shemayim. So says the pasuk, v'tirena hamiyalus asalakim. The women, obviously we know Yocheved and Miriam, were women who Yorei Esal Kim. So even though they knew that B'day Adam, they cannot be punished, they were concerned about B'day Shemayim, what would be the repercussions. Because they had this Yorei Shemayim, even though technically in Bezdin they wouldn't be punished for this, they still, of course, were not prepared to do what Paroi told them to do. The pasuk says, by the Mekoshish Eitzim, the pasuk says, Regoim Oysom Bavonim, that many people should participate in killing the Mekoshish. But we have, at the end of the Parashas Emor, when the person who was Mekalas Akim, the pasuk says, V'yirgum Oysa Evan, Aloshin Yochid. So Mefarshim asks, why does it over here say Aloshin Rabim, And over here it says, Aloshin Yochid. So I saw a very nice pshat. The Sefer Daf Al Adaf brings a nice pshat. But a person, but a Mekoshish Evan, they weren't sure that this person was Chai Misa. So on one hand, they wanted to kill him, as the halacha requires. On the other hand, they weren't sure if he should be killed. So what did they do? V'yirgamu oisam. They had many people participate in killing him. By having many people participating in killing him, so there the halacha is, nobody would really be considered a murderer. But in Mekala Salakim and Parshas Emor, they were confident that this person was Chai Misa. Since they were confident that this person was Chayv Misa, so now there's no question that this person, since they were confident that this person was Chayv Misa, it could be one person giving a Misa, nobody was uncomfortable doing it. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabba, Nafal B'Rosh Hagag, if a person fell off the roof, V'nitka B'Isha, and he ended up, as he fell down, there was a woman standing there, and he had relations with that woman. Chai ba'arba dvarim. He's chayiv in tzari p'shevus b'yishas. Nezat tzari p'shevus. V'yuvintoi, the halacha is, even though the Gemara tells us many times, that if somebody has to have relations, has to marry his yevama, even if he had relations with her without intending of marrying her, she becomes his wife. But here, this act of having relations with her is considered totally something that he did not have any intention to do, and therefore, she won't be considered his wife. What are the things that he's chai for? Chai benezek b'tzar b'ripu v'sheves, av boishes loy. But he wouldn't be chai for boishes. And the reason he's not chai for boishes, the Tanan, ain't a chai for boishes. One is never chai for boishes, achi miskaven, unless he had intention to embarrass. This person had no intention to embarrass. Since he had no intention to embarrass, he's not chayiv. So this Gemara teaches us that a person is responsible for what if he falls off the roof. The Rishonim ask a question. The Rishonim say, we're going to learn on Amud Beis that if somebody stumbles over someone else's vessels at night and in the street, and he breaks those vessels, he's not held responsible. We can't say it's his fault. It was night, he couldn't see them, and therefore we're not holding him responsible. So now we have a question. Why in our Gemara, the person who falls off the roof is held responsible, and over there, the person who breaks those vessels is not responsible? So Tysus answers, and this is a Tysus that we've quoted, that there are two levels of oinus. There's an oinus gomer, and there's something which is not an oinus gomer. So walking on vessels at night, or the Tysus quotes a halacha that we've mentioned, the Yerushalmi, that if you went to sleep, and after you went to sleep, somebody put kalim next to you, and you rolled over on those kalim, you will not be held responsible. Those cases are considered oinus gomer. Oinus gomer, Tosfos's opinion is, you're not held responsible, even though we're learning now the sugya of adam mu'ud l'olam. But, says Tosfos, if somebody's on the roof and a wind blows him off, that is already not considered that's not considered oinus gomer. And since there's a loch of adam mu'ud l'olam, you will be held responsible. And similarly, if you put the kalim next to a person who's sleeping, he has no way of knowing that those kalim were put there. Since he has no way of knowing that those kalim were put there, he will not be held responsible. And it's interesting to point out that the Torah in Hilchos Nezikin says that even though a person is obligated to pay for damages, or the mu'ud la'olam, he's exempt by Ruach Sheinu Metsuya. Says the Drisha, how do we understand this? Here, the Torah says that he's obligated to pay for damages that he did, even though he was an Oinus. And here he says that he's not Chayiv. So he says that the Drisha wants to make a distinction between Adam the Azak Adam, whereas Adam the Azak Kalim. When it talks about bodily damage, when one person did bodily damage to another person, there the halacha is much stricter. When the damage was not body damage, when somebody damaged somebody else's property, the halacha is not as strict, and therefore the halacha will take much more into consideration the fact that the person was an oinus. Continues the Gemara of Amar Rabbah. Nafam Rosh Hagag Baruch Shem Metzuya. Somebody fell off the roof. Baruch Shem Metzuya v'hizik v'biyish. And as he fell off, he did damage and he embarrassed somebody. Chayiv al-nezek. He's chayiv to pay for the damage, even though it was an oinus, as we've been discussing, upata ba'ar b'dvorim. But he's not chayiv for tzar ripui shevis and boishis. However, if he fell Baruch Metzuya v'hizik v'biyish, chayiv ba'ar b'dvorim, he's chayiv nezek tzar ripu in sheves or potter al boishes, but he's not chayiv for boishes. V'nis hapach, if he rolled over as he flew down, and because he rolled over as he flew down, he did that for his own safety and his own enjoyment, then he's chayiv even al boishes. The Tanya, the pasuk says, where the Torah teaches us the halacha boishes. The Torah says, ki notza nashim yachtiv ish v'ochiv, two men were having an argument. The karva eishes echel lahatzels isha, and the wife of one of them comes to protect her husband. Miyad makeif, from the person who's attacking him. The shol chiyada, the chzikav v'voshav, and she sticks out her hands and touches his private parts. The katzoisa is kapa, says the Gemara. Memashish shenemar the shol chiyada, that she stuck out a hand. Any idea shechzika? She obviously stuck a hand out for a purpose. Matamal v'chzika. If she intended to do damage, even though her intention was just to save her husband, her intention was not necessarily to embarrass the other person. But as soon as there was an intention of doing damage, there's a chiyur boishes. If somebody put a coal on somebody else's body, mace, and that person who we put the coal on passed away, potter. The person who put the coal on will be potter. But if he put it on big doy, if he put it on his body, on his clothing, v'nisrif, and the clothing gets burnt, he's chayiv. Because in the first case, when he put it on his body, is the person should have had the intelligence to take it off. And since the person didn't have the intelligence to take that off, we can't obligate the perpetrator. And if he didn't take it off, he's considered that he murdered himself. When it comes to, however, physical, when it comes to the damage of the clothing, it's very different. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Tvaray Tanina. Both of these halacha have been taught in Mishnayis. The halacha about Liboy, that if somebody put the coal on somebody else's body, he's not chai femisa the Tanan, kavashalov l'toicha or, if somebody, Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Vav and Beis, somebody put somebody else into fire, or the Techamayim into water, then a Yochel Maals Misham, to the degree that the victim cannot get out, that's when he's Chayiv. However, Doch V'Letoichor, if he threw him into a fire, or Techamayim, or into water, and the victim, Yochel Maals Misham, can escape, and then he didn't escape, Potter, because he should have escaped. Big Doi, the Halacha of putting the coal on the big guy was taught in the Mishnah later in our Masechta and that Tzadik Beis Amar Aleph. Somebody says to someone else, "Kras ksusi shvaras kadi, tear my suit or break my bag or break my pitcher." He's chayiv, even though he was instructed to do so. Only in a case where he was told, "A manas lifter, you will not be held responsible." That's the only time that he's potter. By Rava. Ask Rabbi, if somebody put a coal on somebody else's evkanani, mahu. The question is, how does the halacha look at the situation? Does the halacha look at the situation kigufay dami, as if I put it on the person's body? And we just finished learning that if you put it on the person's body, you will not be held responsible. I kim a minor dummy. Or does the halacha look at it as if you put it on his clothing? And we just finished learning that if you put it on the clothing, you shall be held responsible. And says the Gemara, im tim tzolayim kigufa dummy, that's put on the body, because the Eved certainly has the intelligence to know to have that removed. And if he didn't, then it's his then he caused his murder, his own murder. What's going to be the halacha if he put it on the shoroi? If he put coal on somebody else's animal, and then the animal got killed, what will be or wounded? What will be the halacha? Animals don't obviously have the same level of intelligence as people. Hada pashta, avda kigufay, the halacha of the eved is like a person's body. A person, eved is supposed to have the intelligence to take it off, and therefore, if he didn't take it off, it's his own fault. Shoroi, but when we look at an animal, the halacha is that it's kemamainai, it's like putting it on the clothing of something else that you're chayiv. But I did see that the Meiri writes that even an animal, obviously an animal doesn't have the same level of intelligence as a human being, points out the Meiri, but even though it doesn't have the same level of intelligence as a human being, an animal also knows that fire is dangerous. So if the coal, says the Meiri, was put on the animal's body in a place that any animal under normal circumstances would shake that coal off, then the person, even by an animal, will be potter. Hadronloch ketzer aregel, hadronloch ketzer aregel, hadronloch ketzer aregel. Says the Mishnah, hamneich es akad b'shusarabim. If somebody put down a pitcher in the shusarabim, or bo achel v'niskaba, and somebody walks along by this pitcher, and he trips over the pitcher, the shavron, he breaks it, potter. He doesn't have to pay for it. V'mhuzakba, and if the person who tripped over the pitcher got wounded, then the bala chavis chayiv b'niskay. Then the person who owns this pitcher will be chayiv for putting down this pitcher in the Rosh Hashanah. And the Meiri points out that not only if the person put down the pitcher irresponsibly in the Rosh Hashanah, will the person who fell and hurt himself you'll be responsible for him. But even if he put it down because he was carrying it and it was too heavy for him to carry, and he put it down just because he rest, still, if he put it down in a place where people could get hurt, he's not supposed to put it down in such a place and say, well, I put it down because it was just too heavy for me to carry. The Rishonim, however, do say that everything, and this is going to be very important as we get into the sugya, what would be the halacha, a very big part of this discussion, is because I, the person walking in the Rosh Hashanah, did not see, and I have every right to walk there, did not see that picture there. And therefore, the person who left it there is responsible. I, who unfortunately tripped on it, shall not be held responsible. But what would be the halacha, they discuss, in a situation where I saw it? So now I saw it, and I should be careful. So on the other hand, I say, why should I be careful? You had no right to leave it here. So many Rishonim, and as we learn the Gemara, perhaps the answer to this question will become clear. What would be the halacha if I saw it and I still didn't care? How would the halacha view this? How would the halacha view the situation? I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein in learning this Mishnah, says that there's a lot to be learned from this Mishnah. He says that Chazal say that many times people take the attitude that I didn't see, I didn't know, why should I be held responsible? He says the lesson of our Mishnah. He says the lesson of our Mishnah is to teach us just the opposite. The lesson of our Mishnah is to teach us that taking an attitude that why should I be held responsible is not the proper attitude. Says, and the attitude it has to be is that you have to pay attention. The person who puts down his pitcher in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has to pay attention what's going to happen by putting down his pitcher in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And on the other hand, a person, as we just discussed, who's walking in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim should be paying attention. If I'm walking in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, maybe I should, and I notice something there, I shouldn't just ignore what's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I should pay attention to what's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And he takes it a step further. He says, if our Mishnah is teaching us that we have to pay attention to what's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, to what's out there, not to damage, not to get hurt, all the more so, he says, we have to be thinking about people. And he says, if there's somebody that walks in to shul, we have to think about him and go over to give him a Shalom Aleichem. If there's a Talmud in a yeshiva, it's our obligation to make sure that everybody has what they need, and is this Talmud really being thought about? That all is included in the lesson of this Mishnah. But ask the Gemara, Pasuk B'Kad, the Mishnah began speaking about a Kad, and then spoke about a Chavis. And normally, in Shas, the difference of a Kad is a smaller picture, and a Chavis is a bigger picture. And ask the Gemara, we have a similar Mishnah, later on Daf Lamed Aleph, Zeba B'Chavitov, Zeba B'Koyrov, the Mishnah speaks about a Chavis, and then the Mishnah changes, V'nishber Kadei, Shazeh B'Karosh Shazeh. Again, the Halach is Potter. Again, the question is, Pas B'Chavis, the Mishnah began with the word Chavis, and then changed to Kad, V'Tanan Nami, and says the Gemara, there's another Mishnah, later in the Masechta, Daf Kuftez Vav Amen Aleph. The Mishnah says, Zeba b'chavitoi shiyayin, v'zeba b'kadosh shodvash, and they have and they bump into each other, and this is the kechavish shodvash, and the barrel of honey breaks, the shafach ze, and the one that has the pitcher of wine pours out his wine, v'hitzel shodvash l'toichoi, to save the honey, which, as we're going to learn, is more valuable than the wine. Ein lo ela scharoi, the question is, what does the person who saved the honey have a right to collect? And again, ask the Gemara, Pasul Bekad, the sign Bechavis. How do we understand this inconsistency? Amra Papa, says the Gemara, to teach us, Hainu Kad Hainu Chavis. What we're learning from all of these halachas, that the Kad and Chavis, and this is the way the Ravid explains the Gemara, since the Kad and Chavis serve the same purpose, they're containers, so the halacha treats them the same. Ask the Gemara, l'may nafkamina, why do we have to notice halacha? L'mekach memker, that if I did a contract with you, and in the contract it says I'm buying a chavis, and you gave me a kad, or vice versa, the halacha is, it will be considered that the deal was consummated properly. Ask the Gemara, hechidami, exactly what are the circumstances? Ilema, if we're speaking about the asra, the kad, l'kar, chavis, v'charis, l'kar, kada. The people call a kad, and a chavis. So halay karle. So the halacha is that they're the same. So how could they're not the same? So how could we just say that the Mishnah says that they're the same? Answers the Gemara like Tzricha. We're speaking about a situation. The rubik karle l'kad kad l'chavita chavita. Most people call a kad, and most call a chavita chavis. Vikanami, but there are those. The karla chavita kadal chavita that aren't particular ma'atema. So we would think zilbas roiv. We should go after roiv people, and roiv people make a kad a chavis is a chavis, not to be interchanged. Hamash Milan. What we learn from here is ein holchin b'mamanach roiv, that by mamanus, when financial matters, roiv is not a determining factor. So Rashba asks, yes, we're learning from here that Kad and Chavis are the same. But why do we have to teach it in three different places, the same lesson. So the Rashba explains the Gemara. He says what the Gemara means to teach us here is that we never care if it's called Kadachavis. Why is it unimportant to call it Kadachavis? Because they're all the same. And that's why, even though, says the Rashba, usually words of Mishnayis make a difference, here it doesn't make a difference. And that's why the Mishnah never really paid attention to what it said. Says the Avodah Segeshuni, this halacha that we don't call Mamon Acharoiv is only if in the place where this deal was made, there are people that most people call one way and Amir call it another way. You cannot use the fact that in different places it's called that way. It has to be in this specific place, people use these names, some people at least use these names interchangeably. So Tysus asks a question. We have here a dispute. One person says he's supposed to give me a kad. One person says he's supposed to give me a chavis. So, and we're determining it, but what do people mean with these words? So ask Tysus, why don't we look at the price? If a kad and a chavis don't have the same price, based on the price that I paid or contracted to pay, that should be an indication what I meant. So Tysus answers that the price of a kad and a chavis are similar. And therefore, since the price of a kad and a chavis are similar, then that's not the factor. Another teretz that Tysus says that what nobody is cheating, one person is not cheating the other person on a financial level. That means if the contract says you have to give me $200 worth of kad, you're going to give me $200 worth. Just you're giving me $200 worth of kadim, and I want $200 worth of chavis, but not that you're giving me less than what I contracted. And therefore, the money cannot be the factor to make the determination. The Sefer Divrei Yisrael has a Sefer Klali Araisa, where he takes different expressions in Shas and explains them. So he says, "En hochem mamon acharoiv," means that what we should learn from that is that "En hochem mamon acharoiv," that mamon, money, should not be the roiv. The most of our life should not be focused about mamon. There should be other things that we think about. "En hochem mamon acharoiv," our lives should not be focused on the money. So we learned in the Mishnah. So if somebody left his pictures in the Rishus Rabbim and somebody came and tripped on them and broke them, potter, he doesn't have to pay. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, but my potter, why is this person who tripped and broke these pictures potter? Shouldn't have he paid attention where he was walking? Answers the Gemara, Amri Debei Rav, Mishmei de Rav, Bemal Rishus Rabbim Bechavis. We're speaking here about a situation that this person filled up the entire Rishus Rabbim with the pictures. And since he filled up the entire Rishus Rabbim with pictures, I had nowhere to walk because the pictures completely were blocking my travel. Shmuel Amar, Bafel Shanu. Shmuel says the Mishnah is speaking about that this took place at night, and since at night I didn't see them, and I saw that the Rishonim point out that the Gemara, Shmuel uses the word afela. Afela means that it's very dark. Why does the Gemara use the word afela, which means very dark? So say the Rishonim that the fact that I'm walking at night is not enough of an excuse. The only time I have a legitimate excuse, they say, is it was Bafela, where it was very, very dark. And since it's very, very dark, that's the only time when I couldn't see it was dark. Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'Keren Zavis. These kelim were put in a corner. So as I turned the corner, I had no way of seeing, and that's why I won't be held responsible. So the Sefer Nachlas David, in explaining the Gemara, says that these three opinions of the Gemara actually do not represent the machloikus. Every one of them is giving a different example, but what Rav says, what they mean to say is like this. Rav says that even if somebody just filled up the Rishus HaRabim with Kalim, that's already enough for it to be considered that I am an Oinus. Shmuel says, no, that's not a situation of Oinus. The only situation of Oinus is if it was dark, so it was impossible for me to see. The third, Rabbi Yochanan says, even that's not enough of an example. What we need to have here is that it was a Keren Zavis that was certainly totally impossible for me to see. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Papa, Leidaikim Esnisen, if we want to really study our Mishnah really only follows Shmuel's approach or Rabbi Yochanan's approach. The Karav, if the reason I'm allowed to break it because I have no way to go by, so ask the Gemara, my Irya Nisko, why did the Mishnah speak about that I tripped? If the issue here is that you filled this up, you filled up the Rishus Rabbim with your pictures, and therefore I have a right to go, because how am I supposed to go? Then the halacha ought to be, I feel a shavanami. Even if I deliberately broke them, I should not be held responsible. But it's interesting to point out that usually when the Gemara wants to say that a Mishnah is not like one of the opinions, the Mishnah says Masnisin, the Gemara normally would have used the words Masnisin the Loi Karav. The Gemara says Loi Daika. What it means to say, says the Sefer Torah Chaim, is Loi Daika, the Mishnah makes more sense with Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan. But it doesn't mean that Rav is not correct. And it could be that everybody agrees that Halacha is like Rav. Amar Rav Zvi, Mishmei Derava. No. Hu Adin Nafila Shavar. The Mishnah means that he broke. And he has a right to break if he's walking and he can't walk by. So why did the Mishnah not tell us the bigger Chiddush? Why did the Tari Nisko? Why did the Mishnah speak about a case where I tripped? Answers the Gemara. I did the Boil Misni Vim Huzuk Ba Baal Chavas Chayiv. That if somebody filled up the somebody put his picture there, and I fell and I tripped, and I'll be chayiv with this guy, the dafka of a nisko, that if I get hurt, it's only if I tripped, avol, if I broke the kalim, even if I have a right to break him, but in the course of breaking them, I hurt myself, loy, then the person who owns those kalim will not be responsible to take care of me. That's why, my time, because I was the one that initiated the damage that I suffered from. My time, Huda Azaka Nafshe, I was the one that initiated the damage. That's why, Kanitani Reisha, that's why the Reisha also says the word Niskal. Amalei Rav Abela Ravashi, Hoch Amrib Meravim Shmeid Rabula, and it's a sword they said in the name of Ula, Lefishayin Dakish Menei Adam, Lespoinen Bedrochim. People don't pay attention where they're walking. And since people don't pay attention where they're walking, so even if it's by day or under all circumstances, I will not be chayiv. So we have a very fundamental machloikis. Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan hold that it is a person's obligation to pay attention to where he walks. Ula's opinion is that a person should not be held responsible for where he walks. And therefore, the question is, many Paiskim discuss the Shaila, often unfortunately comes up, if somebody put his glasses down somewhere and somebody else broke those glasses, will he be chayiv or will he not be chayiv? Example that I saw is discussed in the Shaila Shetshuvos Kana Baisim Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Nun Dalid. There was somebody in a dormitory, a yeshiva bacher in a dormitory, who went to sleep. And the yeshiva bacher asked his friend to please wake him up. And this yeshiva bacher went to sleep, put his glasses down on the floor next to his bed. his friend comes to wake him up and steps on those glasses. And the question is, will he be held responsible? So Ramey Bransdorfer says, certainly, if Al Gemara just said, Ein Dakish, Ra'ula said, Ein Dakish Adam, Lizboinen Bedrachim. People don't pay attention where they're walking. But then he says that that's only maybe in Rishus HaRabim. In Rishus HaRabim, Ula says that a person is not expected to pay attention where he's walking. He's walking in the Rishus HaRabim. But if somebody is walking in somebody else's private room, then he doesn't have, even according to Ula necessarily, this point of Ein Dakish Shel Adam L'Zboinim Bedrachim. On the other hand, he suggests that we go back to the Tosfos and the Ramban that we keep on quoting in our Shiurim. Maybe this would be considered a Oinus Gomer. Why would I think that this person put his glasses on the floor? And therefore, maybe I shouldn't be held responsible. Says the Gemara, Hava Uvda, there was a situation in Adar, somebody tripped the Chayiv Shmuel, and Shmuel held him responsible, but Pimdisa the Chayiv Rava. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Shmuel Kishmatzei. Shmuel is saying that a person is obligated to pay attention where he's walking. Ella Rava, when we speak about Rava, isn't this a proof that Lame Kishmuel Sfirlei, that a person is obligated to pay attention where he's walking? Amra Papa, says the Gemara, they can't bring a ride that Rava necessarily agrees with Shmuel. Because that episode took place, Kana the Atzrahava. It happened where somebody put it, his thing in the street, and during the season when they worked in the wine press and the oil press, they were full, and therefore, Kivan the Rishus Ka'avdi, everybody leaves their things there at that time of the year. If I know that it's likely that somebody left his things in the street, then I have certainly an obligation to pay attention and when I'm walking, not to make any damage. Says the Gemara, Shalach Rav Chisda Rav Nachman. Harei Amru, Chazal teaches, Rekuva Shalosh, if somebody hits somebody on his knee, he has to pay Boishas 3 sloim. Ulabitoi, if somebody kicks him, he has to pay Chomis sloim. Ulasnroikis, if somebody hits somebody else with the saddle of a donkey, he has to pay 13 sloys. Lepanda demar, lekufna demar mai. If somebody hits somebody else with the handle of a shovel, what is the halacha? Shalach leichizda chizda. So he sent back to him, I don't understand why you're asking these questions. These are all knosses. Knosses kamagva bevavel. As we've learned previously, a knas can only be determined in Eretz Yisrael, A, and B, the only dayanim who could give a knas are rabbanim who are smuchim, who have smicha, not the smicha that we think about ordination, but the ordination that goes back an unbroken chain from Moshe Rabbeinu. So there must be something that's missing in the story. Emele gufad of the hachiava. What was the story? Says the Gemara Shalach Lei, that gusad the Beit Rei, there was a pit that was owned by two people. The chayoyim v'yoyim chavadol echad menayu. Every day they agreed, the one of them will draw water from the pit. Asa chad kadol v'yoyim delay. And one came and drew water on the day that wasn't his. Amalei, and the other one told him, how are you doing this? Yoyim adadihu, it's my day. Layashgichbe, and he ignored him. Shokel panda de maramachia. And he took the shovel and he hit him. Says the Gemara, Amalei. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Chisda, may a panda panda lemechia. Even if he gave him 100, he hurt him, he hit him 100 times with this shovel, lemechia, he had every right to do so. Because, and now the Gemara introduces a new concept. A feel a man da amala of it in ishtina lanafshe. A person is not allowed to take the law into his own hand. A person, if he has an issue with somebody else, should go to Bezdin. However, b'makom pseida avdi nedesh lanafshe. Here, where he's avoiding a loss, because this person is taking something that belongs to him, taking his water, Here the halacha is that Ovid Anish Dinan L'Nafshe, a person could take the law in the hands. Ditmar, it says the Gemara, this is a fundamental machlokes. Rav Yehuda Amilai, Ovid Anish Dinan L'Nafshe, a person cannot take the law into his hands. Rav Nachman says, Ovid Anish Dinan L'Nafshe, says the Gemara. As we just said, Hecha Dekeb Seida, where the person has a loss, and he can't wait to go to Beis Din, says the Gemara, Kulam Loi Pligi De Ovid Anish Dinan L'Nafshe, that you could take the law into your hands. Hey, Pligi, Hech de lekeb seida, where there is no loss involved. Rav Yehuda, I'm a law of an instant of nafshe. Rav Yehuda's opinion is you can't take the law into your own hand. The kivin de lekeb seida, you're not suffering an immediate loss. Lezel lekame dayana, you should go to the Beis Din. Nachman Amar, Ovid inishdin el nafshe, you have a right to do what you have to do. The kivin de bedin Ovid. Since I'm doing what I have to do, this person had no right to do what he's doing. So Chazal, Loi Torach, do not obligate me to go to Beis Din. And this concept of Ovid Dinan L'Nafshe has of course many questions. One question that I saw is, let's say Reuven has a claim against Shimon. But Reuven claimed against Shimon, the type of evidence that he has is not admissible or wouldn't work in Beis Din. Could he go to court? We know under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to go to court. But could he say that I'm doing Dina L'Nafshi, I'm going to court to protect myself? So here, of course, we can't say over Dina L'Nafshi, because the halacha does not allow you to go to court. Since the halacha doesn't allow you to go to court, even though you know that you are not to be held responsible, that you're innocent, that you want to get back what you know you deserve, the halacha still does not allow you to go to court.